Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, I want you to come down to the 21st verse. I'll be looking at Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And a title this evening of Should I Always Forgive? Now, as we get into the passage here and as we get into the background for this evening, I want us to think this in our minds here real quickly. Can it be hard to forgive people? Think about it to yourself. Don't say it out loud. But can it be hard to forgive people? And you can probably think, yeah, you know, the other day I thought of this person. And this, it could be. Especially when they've really done something wrong to you. You can probably think of something that someone's done to you in your life. And you think to yourself, oof, you don't want to know. I mean, this guy, this girl, this whoever this was, they really did something. They really wronged me. But think of something that you think you would believe that you would never forgive someone if they did that to you. It could be, well, who knows, maybe murder. It could be stealing, whatever it is. Think of the thing that you think that you would never forgive somebody for. Would you still forgive them anyway? Some subscribe into this idea of karma where you do wrong and then they will get wrong back and, oh yeah, someone's going to come after you because they've done wrong to you and it's going to bite you and all that. Others hold to the idea they should never forgive people when they're wrong. Rather, they will do worse than the original wrong. Oh, you stole $100 from me. Okay, that's nice. I'm going to steal $10,000 from you. And you think to yourself, that's ridiculous. Well, that's the mindset of people today. Some folks today. Tonight, I want us to look at the Bible, and I want us to see what our Savior says about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible gives us these words. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Until seven times? I submit to you this evening, as we look into the passage this evening, that we ought to forgive everyone because Jesus forgave us of all our sins. I want to show that to you through the passages we're looking at this evening. Father, help us as we look into your word that we can grow, we can understand thereby. And I pray that you just help me as I speak to help it to be clear, help it to be easy to be understood. Help there if there's any distractions that are in our minds that we'd be able to push them off to the side, that we'd be able to focus in on your word here for these minutes here. And I pray that you would just help us just to see and examine ourselves and convict us of where we're wrong and help improve us where we have our shortcomings. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to look at Peter's question, verses 21 to 22. As we get into verse 21 here, Jesus addresses this fact that if someone commits a wrong against you. And this is in verses 15 to 20 of what we would then say church discipline. Someone does something wrong to you, you go to the brother. If everything's good, that's it. If he doesn't hear you, you take two or three witnesses. If they don't listen, then bring it to the church. And if the church doesn't hear, then you cast them out. Excuse me. You cast them out as a heathen man and a publican. And we have all this going on here. But now Peter comes and asks this question. And before that, we have Jesus talking about the lost sheep and the sermon on the child text and how Jesus values children. Then he comes here, Peter comes in verse 21, and he asks a question to Jesus. He says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Was Peter saying that you should tally your forgiveness tab until you get to seven? Imagine Luke, he's right there. The first name I thought of. Let's say Luke does something wrong to me. And I say, okay, I forgive you. Check number one. And then he does something wrong again. Number two. Once he gets to number 8, Luke, you're done. No more forgiveness. You're gone. I'm never going to forgive you ever again. And that's what some people can think that this could mean. And let's look at verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Oh, preacher. It means we have to do 490 times. How many of you want to count to 490 times? But that's really not what Jesus is trying to imply here. How do you know that? Well, we kept reading on. Luke 6:17, verses 3 through 4 says this. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So repent, then forgive. This repent means to think differently, to reconsider, change one's mind. Rebuking him in this passage here talks about showing honor or to tax with fault. Trespass is to miss the mark, to err or to sin. What is Jesus trying to say here in Luke chapter 17? If he asks for forgiveness 7 times and he changes his mind and repents 7 times, we ought to forgive. That's what he's saying. You're thinking, but they've done this and this and this and they keep doing this and they keep doing this. How oft shall I forgive them? Let me plant this thought in your mind here. And we'll highlight this again at the very end of the chapter. How often does Jesus forgive you? How many times do we do something wrong in a day and he still forgives you? I mean, you ask him to be your savior. He doesn't say, oh, you've done this wrong. Okay, you're not going to heaven anymore. He forgives us often. But let's continue on. This is Jesus speaking here. Consider that Jesus forgives all sins and continues to forgive all sins, even when he can forgive all sins when we confess them to him. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We do something wrong against God, he still forgives us, no matter what it is. But we need to go and ask him to basically say sorry. Let's continue on here. Peter is told by Jesus that we should continually forgive. That's the idea that Jesus is trying to communicate here. 70 times 7. He doesn't mean to go to 490 times and then forget about it. Besides, first of all, again, why would we want to count that high? But number two, here's what he's really trying to get at, is that he's going to show the magnitude of forgiving by giving us a parable. Parables are a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. Verse 22, we're going to look at the parable on forgiveness. Verse 23 and 24 sets the setting here. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now I got curious as I was studying. How much would 10,000 talents be? Well, first we have two people. They come and they have a debt they have to pay. Reckon means to make up, to compute, so to try and figure out how much this guy's owe, and this particular guy owes 10,000 talents. Now, according to one website, based upon today's currency, it would be the equivalent to $3.48 billion. How many of you have ever had don't raise your hand. How many of you have ever had that in your lifetime? You could maybe earn that much in your lifetime. But here's a more reasonable number. According to another website, it equates it to $10 to $300 million. That's a little better. But still a lot, though. $10 to $300 million. Or 60 million denarii, or day's wages, or basically 60 million days of work. Now you think to yourself, how much would 60 million days of work be? Basically, what Jesus is trying to communicate here, folks, is this is an impossible amount of debt to pay. How so? Well, assume you work 260 days a year for 50 years. So you work Monday through Friday, 50 days a year. You've only worked 13,000 days of work in your lifetime. If you start at 14 and you work till you're 64. Okay, so that's 13,000. This is 60 million days wages. Well, let's go a little higher. How about you work for 70 years? You start at 14, you retire at 84. Okay, 70 years of work would only yield 18,200 workdays, days wages, with no vacations at all and not paying your bills. Is that 60 million? No, it is not. First of all, how could you imagine working for 70 years and not having a vacation one time? I mean, that's just, it'd be difficult. This is a lot of money this person owed him. Now, how in the world did he owe him that? I don't know. But let's continue on. He owed him quite a bit of money. Verse 25. For as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold. He had every right to do this. Let's continue on. To sell him. To command him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. You find this in two examples in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 39 to 46, shows until the year of Jubilee, they would be bound to that master as a servant. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, in the beginning of that passage, a creditor is coming to take the widow's child because they didn't have the money to pay off the debts that they have. But of course, a miracle takes place and they were able to pay the debts. So this is something that was accurate that this person could have done. But here's what he does here. The servant, verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, and saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. He would have to have a lot of patience, wouldn't you think? That's a huge debt to pay. It'd take him a whole lifetime. And I'm pretty certain the lottery wasn't around back then. It's a lot. But I want to understand verse 27. I'm going to tie 27 into 35 later on. But I want you to notice the reaction of the Lord in verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Knowing that he was owed so much money, he was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. I will tell you this personally. If someone owes me money, I'm generally not going to go after him and say, hey, when are you going to pay up? I don't do it. And if the person forgets to pay me, okay, that's fine. Oh, I should borrow money from you and forget. Don't do that. Okay. But generally speaking, if someone borrows something from me and they forget to give it back, I'm not going to go after that person and say, you, whatever you are, you need to give me back all this. No. Why? I could replace it. You think, maybe not. Maybe not, no. But I do know that my God shall supply my need. Now, maybe I could be taking that verse out of context. But I do know that there's a God who will help me out, even if I do get wrong somehow, some way. But I want you to notice here that he's moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. 10,000 talents. He forgave every single one of those. He had a zero balance. Don't you wish the bank could take away all your debt and you don't have to pay it all? I'd be hearing some jumping in the streets. Maybe I hear a shout from all the way down the other end of the state. I don't know. It's a lot of money, but the Lord had compassion and forgave him. Don't you wish that the parable ended there? I wish it did. But it doesn't. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, 100 pence was estimated about, you know, $100 to $155, according to one website. That's not too terrible. I mean, Not that much money. This guy here just got forgiven millions of dollars. And now here comes this guy who owes him money, about a couple hundred. And what does he do? And verse 28, the servant began, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him. Notice there's a difference there. The first one, that Lord to the servant, didn't touch him at all. Nothing like that. This guy lays hands on him. And not only that, he took him, laid hands on him, and took him by the throat. Like, try to get him, and says, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. The same guy who was just forgiven millions of dollars of debt is taking this other guy by the throat and says, you pay me the money now. All whatever hundreds of dollars that I owe. And then notice verse 29, his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same thing that the servant said to the Lord. Now this servant says to this servant, yeah, just give me time, I'll pay it. But, verse 30, and he would not. He wouldn't listen to him. He would not listen to him at all. What would he do? But went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now you're thinking to yourself, man, that guy is so terrible. There was a difference. Aren't you glad that God does not require us to pay him back, in a sense? He forgave us that sin debt. He doesn't charge us a single thing. He doesn't even charge us interest rates. Our God forgave all of our sin, and he continually forgives all of our sin. He had, like in verse 27 we mentioned, the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. God has compassion for us. But sometimes we look at other people and we say, pay up, buddy. It's my money. Give it up now. And then when we don't do that, we call them, we text them every day, we say, hey, we ain't gonna pay you back. We ain't gonna pay you back. We ain't gonna pay you back. Does God ever come to you and say, hey, we ain't gonna pay me back? God doesn't do that to us. So verse number 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Oof. It's not good. Wicked. I hope no one ever calls you wicked. It just doesn't sound good. I don't think you can ever say wicked and smile. Wicked. No, you can't even say wicked and smile at the same time. It's just not a good term to be associated by. If I called my wife wicked, guess what's going to happen? I ain't going to be in there. Not tonight. Never would call her that. But he says to this servant, the one who didn't forgive the $100, $200, $300 there, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Because you wanted me to forgive that, and so I did. But now, verse 33, shouldst thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? He's saying, as much as I forgave you, you should have forgiven him. You owed me more. He owed you a percentage of that amount. And what'd you do with him? You threw him off into prison. I could have done that and more because you owed me more. 34. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. He never got out. There's no way. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. How do we know that Jesus was saying forgive people every single time? Verse 35. Forgive every one his brother their trespasses. God wants us to forgive. If you think that's not a common theme in Scripture, well, we're going to look at some verses here as we finish off that shows some of that. God wants us to forgive all. Peter asks, how many times should I forgive? Seven by seven times? No, 70 by seven. Verse 35, forgive every brother their trespass. But you don't know what they've done to me. And you could list something really, really bad that someone has done to you. But consider what Jesus did for you. I think that every single time in mind when someone does something wrong against me, that I should still forgive them. Doesn't matter what the crime is. Heaven forbid. Now I hope this will never happen, but heaven forbid someone were to kidnap my wife or kill her. Yeah, they should have the due justice that should be given to them. But I should still forgive them. There's no way you can do that. Well, what did Jesus do? He forgave everyone their trespasses. He forgave all that sin that was accumulated in our debt. But Jesus wiped it free because of his blood. Now, there could be something that God couldn't forgive. Mark chapter 3 and verse 28 says this, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. There is one sin that God cannot forgive, and that's the sin of unbelief. When that person doesn't trust Jesus Christ as their Savior and they breathe that last breath and they pass away not knowing Christ, that's the one sin that God cannot forgive because they've rejected him. He cannot forgive those who reject him. Other than that, he forgives all sins. People who reject God until they die, then God cannot forgive them. He allows as many chances for people to trust him. But once they're gone, God can't forgive them for that because they've rejected his Son as Savior. In conclusion, I want us to understand this. First of all, by way of application, we ought to always forgive people no matter what they do to us. God forgave us of our sin debt. That's the biggest transaction we have in debt to God. But in conclusion, I want to encourage us to forgive. We ought to forgive. We should forgive others who have wronged us. God wants us to forgive others who do wrong against us, no matter the offense. Now, can people be punished for wrong? Sure. Yes. If they do something wrong, the law can handle that. There are laws in place to protect us in incidents that harm or affect us. But as much as we should forgive when people wrong us, don't hold a grudge against that person. Let's look at some verses here on forgiveness as we finish, and they're going to be on the screens behind me and in front of me. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We see the term forgiving each other. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13 tells us these words, forbearing one another, caring for one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Matthew 6:14-15 says this, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Jesus speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount. And then the last one, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Maybe your prayer life is hindered because you haven't forgiven somebody. You should pray for them. I'll tell you this. I told this to the Keens Kids group on Wednesday night. But I generally don't like conflict. I don't like having an issue with somebody not being able to resolve it that same day. I really don't. And there was an instance years ago that I was kind of being pressured by a manager to tell somebody something. And the way I wrote the letter should have been better. I was 20, 21, not that smart. Still not that smart today. But wrote that letter, and then I get a nice little note saying, "You don't tell me what to do." It's a nice note. For that night and the next couple of days until I saw him again, I could not sleep. Why? Because I felt like I had done something wrong. And I had. I hadn't talked to the person. I hadn't said something. I was just accusing or whatever the case is. And I needed his forgiveness. So I finally got the chance to interact with the gentleman. And it took a few days, but I explained to him what was going on. And at the heat of the moment, we were both just frustrated with what was going on. We both had to run a department during a holiday. Person who normally would do it was out with surgery, wasn't there, it was new for all of us. And we were just both heated, but we forgave one another. And it took a while, it took a little bit. I had to really swallow my own pride and really just say, hey, I was wrong. And sometimes we have to admit that sometimes we're wrong. God wants us to forgive others. That's what the scripture teaches us. Confess our faults one to another, pray for one another that ye may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Maybe there's someone that you need to call and ask for forgiveness this evening. Maybe you need help in being able to talk to that person. Come to an old-fashioned altar and settle that time with God and have God help you out with that. Maybe your relationship isn't right with the Lord because you've been sinning against him and you haven't confessed your sins to him. Come to the Lord tonight and confess that to him. Will you? Father, we come, we pray. We thank you for the time you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that you give. And I pray that as we look now to finish and conclude the service this evening, I pray that you just help us just to examine ourselves. Help us to see where there are that we can help out and we can see, maybe there's someone that we need to call tonight, someone that we need to talk to, someone that we need to just try to settle a dispute with, and that you just help us to have the courage and the boldness and the faith to be able to do that. As Christ forgave us, we ought to forgive other people. It can be hard to forgive. Our nature, our sin nature, our human nature causes us to have grudges and regret and jealousy toward people. And Father, I pray that you just help us here this time, that we can just know that you're always the same, that you never change, that you want us to forgive, and that you would help us to forgive others. Father, bless the movement of this invitation time, we pray.